Alright, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. A little bit late. So, I just put fish there in case you just need something to occupy your interest. If I don't do it well enough. What happened there? Camera froze? That's not a good sign. Anyway. Okay. We'll continue. I guess the fish are too much for it. Anyway. I was thinking about the whole need to basically write the script of the theater, the play of life on trial kind of thing. You know, there's lots of different ways you could portray that, and you know, some of them appeal to me more than others. I mean, I tend to like science fiction, so I like the idea of creating some sort of space element, you know, that shows up, you know, some robot or life form. Not likely. Anyway, understands the dilemma of the conscious infestation, the infestation of the conscious organism, and the idea that in the context of its evolution, which sort of the fish demonstrate pretty well, it's just this stupid dog-eat-dog, fish-eat-fish world, and the winners don't get to stay winners, and, you know, it's all quite bleak. You just live to live another day, and tomorrow, you know, the bad ending, the not happily ever after will take place. And you will be ground up and consumed and put back into the energy pool and all of that metaphorical mush. Circle of life stuff, you know, frankly. And it's bleak. It's not a good story. You know, obviously the majority opinion is to say, yes, it's circular. Okay. And pointless and futile, but that's somehow fun. No, it's not fun to just constantly do this relearning process, attempt to become some form of living thing, and then, like, the, I don't know whether it's Buddhist or Hindus, but anyway, this nonsense about, well, you know, I'm achieving, I'm improving my karma or something. And therefore, I will gain points, and the points mean that I don't have to play anymore. You know, what do? I just keep coming back as a cow. Sorry, that doesn't interest me much. But anyway, I don't want to mean to cheat their philosophy, but I just mean it's again just, well, that isn't going to work. No, no, that's not good. It surprises me that it's freezing. I hasn't done that before. Well, anyway, we'll challenge it and see if we can get away with it. See what ends up being the video, I guess. Maybe it won't have those glitches in it. But anyway. sorry. Is what it is. Live video and all that. Well, I mean, it's live for me, of course. Anyway, where was I? All right, so, and then you can just do the plain story that somehow you have a, you know, you create a courtroom, and, you know, you have the prego as the defendant, you know, and it's going to have to survive the accusation that it has disregarded something else's welfare and subjected it to a kind of abuse, an obnoxious a crime against its peace and quiet, a crime against its frickin' space, frankly. The Jeffersonian notion that your rights end where somebody else's rights begin. And I would argue that our right, the living creature's right, does begin with the right to say no. And we can articulate it. That's the advantage humans have, is that they can learn from their life experience and say, please, no, I don't want to wake up on Earth again. And so until you can figure out some way that you don't wake me up and you only wake yourself up, to replay the game again, from some lesser, you know, point, you know, from lesser means, let's just say, you know, born to a worse environment. Yeah, I don't want to play. I don't want to be a Peruvian or a, you know, I could go through all the cities of the world and, you know, huge giant cities full of millions of people. I don't want to be any of them. I don't want to live any of their lives. Don't, no, 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 please, no. No, 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 no. And I have a right to say no. And obviously I can't say it before I'm born. I can only say it now while I'm still able to say it, right? I mean, I can't say it after I'm dead, and then you're going to create a new me, you know. Yes, it won't be me, but the blueprint is the same, right? The fishes are the fishes, you know. You're going to be born that kind of fish, you know, have basic functionality and do the same basic bullshit, and you'll be able to add a little of your own unique little personality that you'll develop for completely arbitrary reasons that just have to do with the luck of the circumstance, whether a shark ever chased you or not. That'll change you as a fish. You'll be a little bit different because you got chased by a shark once. That'll be it. That'll be the only distinction. Nothing dramatic, you know, nothing to say, oh, gee, that's really important. So what I probably should do, just in case, is I probably should stop this video, and then I'll see if it still works, and I'll just tie them together. All right, it appears that the audio is intact, so that's all that really matters, I guess. Whatever, we'll see. So wherever I was, so it's just creating this, the script, okay, of how you play out the argument that would be made that, you know, there really are rights involved. There are interests involved, let's just say. And that it is perfectly reasonable, you could argue. It's within the realm of reasonable for somebody to be both pessimistic or to some point you could say, you could maybe make the argument that it's reasonable to be optimistic. But if your optimism is so aggressive that you think you can enslave somebody, you know, that would be, you could argue that that would be out of bounds optimism, you know, that, that would be, you could sort of prove it wrong to say, the risk is worth it because I'm going to negate the existence of the risk because I'm going to pretend that everybody who is going to be born isn't statistically going to be put in a category of winner and loser. And pretend that there's not going to be any losers, and there's not going to be any dissent, and there's not going to be anybody who would complain that they'd rather be, have been left alone, rather not never to have been. and they would have been better off in that state, and you violated their condition by imposing, okay, the obligation to get up and walk out an exit door that you blocked. Yeah. You know, frankly, that you've allowed to be left blocked, let's say, that you haven't even provided for some ability for people to easily just step out of the game, which I would have done at a very young age, you know, 6 or 7 years old, I was already suicidal. I mean, I'd already contemplated life and death to some extent and, realized that I really wasn't in hell. Okay, you know, I had no memory of it anyway, and that this was close enough to shitty that why the hell would I hang around here and just wait for my leg to get torn off? Because that's all I sort of saw, is it's just, you just saw what you saw. You saw that, you know, people just degraded and dilapidated and then died. And this was somehow supposed to be an appealing adventure. I couldn't see the appealing part. They told me the story. It wasn't like, oh, this is some kind of, oh, that's one of their Santa Claus stories. No, I mean, it seemed pretty real and seemed pretty dismal, frankly. Oh, there's no way out. That was my, you know, my first argument. What, there's not a catch? You're not going to provide the secret code? I punch in the code or something and, you know, everything's okay and I don't have to do this dying stuff and all this other crap that I don't have any interest in doing. So anyway, no, it really wasn't that There really wasn't that compelling a it wasn't that difficult a decision to say, I know this is a bit frightening, and I don't see any point in exposing myself to it. What am I getting out of it in the end? Being killed. Well, I don't really want to do that. That's not doesn't sound like much fun. So why am I playing for that? That logic seems simple enough. Well, anyway, the point is that yes, I probably would have been smart enough, frankly, to choose wisely and recognize that yes, I mean, I you know there are some stimulating moments in life, fun stuff to play with, but that's not enough to keep me here. I mean, come on, I know, already figured out you can't do that all day. You got to come up with something better as a narrative for my existence, as a promise, and again, that's all part of it, is that I was smart enough to know that, oh, you mean there's just nothing you can do. There's no control. I'm just going to have to get lucky. So you're just basically saying there's no strategy. There's no, this is how you play the game and win. There's just, oh, you just get lucky. Oh, okay. I mean, there was some vague notion that you went to college and you did this and did that and everything, you did like daddy did and everything will be just fine. some notion that there was some control, but you could see the holes in that story. So anyway, yeah, it seems kind of silly that I'm sitting here saying, well, this is a difficult construction to, write the script for that moment. I mean, even if I just took that hour where, I get the silly story from the parents, basically saying it's all okay. Yes, you're gonna die. Yes, it's probably not gonna be any fun. Yes, your whole life will be just nothing. You'll just kind of disappear from reality. And everything you did and everything you were will just kind of just turn into nothing. And then you'll come back and start all over again for no good reason. And try to do the same thing, that is, become nothing again. And then become nothing again. And do it over and over and over and over again. And yes, in all of those renditions of being alive, you will be the sucker who has one leg. And you'll be the sucker that gets the cancer, or gets hit by the train, or whatever the crap is that's going to happen. The paralyzed, the, there's so many insidiously horrible fates that can befall people, that do, And it's probably just a crime. You could probably just have a trial about our glib indifference to, all of that, courage and, heroic acceptance. I would call it stupid, but heroes can be stupid. Of all the people who do, the ALS survivors and the rest of it, the people who bear this terrible weight of being unlucky. And we don't really build any monuments to that, do we? Don't have any tomb of the unrecognized stoic tolerator of horrible impairment. And there should be some appreciation for all the people who have to go through life blind and deaf and all the other stuff, and endure a pretty gritty, cruddy, unsmooth life, even more so, even more rubbing of the sandpaper, kind of just that much worse, frankly. That much, more fatiguing and exhausting in terms of trying to deal with all the crap that has to be dealt with. Now, I guess that's part of this story, is there's a bunch of people way too stupid to find life at all burdensome, because they really aren't living for anything more than the 5 minute period that they can imagine, 5 minutes ago and 5 minutes in the future. And they can't do much better than that. So, I mean, there are, you know, no statues necessary, I guess, for the retarded, you know, because they're living in the bliss of that ignorance. And so, you know, they don't need a, we don't need to be mindful of their burden that they carry. Because, yes, the burdens of life really are the burdens of perspective and being able to see the crimes and see the horror and appreciate it and recognize its existence. So, yeah, you could say that what the, you know, white people of, you know, 200 or 300 years ago who enslaved other humans, you could say, what, you're going to just blame ignorance? You're just going to let them off and say, oh, they were just retarded. They were too retarded to figure out what they were doing was cruel and ignorant and wasteful and horribly unfair, criminally unfair, really. There's no other word for it. I mean, you know, capture people out of their life, just, you know, have a war against them, steal their people, and sell them as slaves. I mean, what the fuck? You can't make that into a good story. Yeah. And so what? It's just, you're just going to say, oh, they somehow get it off because everybody else was doing it. You know, and they were too personally stupid to realize, well, there is something wrong with this picture. Yeah. So come on, no, that's not going to work. And just like it wouldn't work, you know, I used this example before, but you know, like the fish, the sharks are roaming like a Tyrannosaurus of the past and they have no idea. I mean, they don't know that they're causing terror and disruption and then harm, you know, tooth penetration, you know, they're half eating some stuff, you know, horrible, miserable death. You know, that they're not nice to their fellow swimming beastlies. And they just are, they are truly ignorant, okay? I mean, they really can't have much hope of figuring it out. Where, come on, obviously the humans of 200 years ago had all kinds of capacity to have some sort of model of reality and recognize that I'm a feeling thing and I can see that the other crap is feeling. I mean, it's kind of obvious it feels. So I can't make up some story that it's a robot that doesn't feel, a machine that doesn't feel. You know, that feelings comes with being mobile and interactive, that it's part of what large multicellular organisms with brains do. And the more brain they have, the more likely it is they're going to be doing this feeling thing. And that, you know, frankly, it's really easy for me to see that there's a cavern of difference between me feeling good and me feeling bad. And the cavern of difference is completely made out of the word value. It's a value difference. There's no other kind of difference between the good and the bad feelings that could possibly matter. Except for that value part, the part where it's obviously one is in the category of bad and one is in the category of good. So, does this have to take place in the trial? I mean, that's the funny part, right? Is the at trial, are you going to have to explain this much to the jury? Does the jury have to have this explained to it that, well, you're a feeling organism and, well, this a dog or a cat or a pig or a cow, these are all also organisms bestowed with the same quality. They're having the same cavern of difference experiences of very good feelings and very bad feelings. And is there something else about their existence you should be recognizing except the magnitude and importance that they don't feel bad? I mean, is there some other part that you want somebody else to respect about you than the fact that you have these feelings? Do you want aliens to show up and pretend they're too ignorant to see the fact that you feel and that it matters how they kill you and that it matters how they incarcerate you and that how they do all these things matters because it's going to make you feel really good or feel really bad? And that's really going to be the price you pay. So, yeah, I mean, you can compare this again There's so many. I mean, do all of these things have to be explained at the trial? And I guess the argument is over these years I've been making all these arguments, because apparently they do have to be made. I mean, people do have to be forced to think about things and say, well, is it better, okay, to spend 10 months dying of cancer or being killed in about, let's say, 30 seconds from the time you know you're going to die to the time you're actually killed in, say, like an airplane crash, where the actual act of dying will be so quick, so explosive, that you won't even have time for your brain to recognize it's happening and to give you an image of it. It'll happen faster than your brain functions. That's how quickly you'll go from being alive to being non-existent. And, you know, is it really going to have to be explained that, oh yeah, well, it, logically, if something has to be killed, it would be preferable to kill things in plane crashes than to kill things, you know, with cancer. I mean, duh, right? So that should, I have to waste time writing that into the script because the jury is this dumb. But that is part of the story. So that's the whole story has to be written from the dumb jury of the viewer of the movie, right? The movie might be 4 minutes long or two, you know, might be 40 seconds long if it was some alien civilization, because they know all of this stuff already and the answer would have already came out and it's already understood. But obviously, this audience would have to have it all explained, okay? Because I have to make the jury as dumb as they are, right? Isn't that the obligation? The jury has to be as clueless and as stupid as the audience watching. So you can sort of, you know, bend this into all kinds of trials that have taken place, you know, and the fact that the jury was way too stupid to understand, you know, really simple arguments about G-forces, for example. So I remember a famous $60 billion case, $60 billion that General Motors got sued for over a truck accident, right? A drunk hits the truck at 70 miles an hour. Now, there's science, right? I mean, in the sense that the guy was driving a new pickup and the speedometer was electronic, so it did actually stop at the last speed the battery still worked at. And so you knew exactly how fast he was going when his battery stopped being connected. And so that was 70 miles an hour. So he could have been going faster, but he wasn't going any slower. He plowed into a car at 70 miles an hour. A truck, another pickup truck. At 70 miles an hour. And they blamed General Motors because the old pickup truck caught fire. Now, it caught fire really slowly. It didn't catch fire immediately, right? So... And the, you know, they explained the G forces were incredible, and the kid's head was smashed against the side of the truck. I mean, 70 mile an hour crash. His head went bang right into the side of the truck. He was already long dead. There was no smoke in his lungs. He didn't die from the fire. I mean, the whole thing is so simple. It should be a 3-minute trial. Okay, where you say, well, go ahead, if you want to blame General Motors for something, we'll find a real case where the fire actually kills the person. But don't give us an example where the fire was completely irrelevant. And frankly, the fire was completely understandable considering the magnitude of the accident. Well, anyway, I mean, it was right in an intersection. I mean, a perfect crash. I mean, he smashes right into the truck at 70 miles an hour. And the jury says, oh, no, the poor victim. Yeah, what the fuck? So, you know, the jury needs to be on trial. How dumb are you people? I mean, they explained, you know, they were talking about gas leaking out. It was antifreeze. It wasn't on fire. It was leaking to the side of the road. It never caught fire. Obviously antifreeze. I mean, they can't, you know, they're so dumb. They can't understand any of the mechanical details. And then you could say that the same thing has happened with a lot of trials with DNA evidence. And, you know, the jury's just way too stupid, you know, to understand the difference between 1 in 1,000 and 1 in 10 million. You know, and the odds, you know, Bruno Mali shoes. They're just way too dumb to understand the evidence. So, you know, come on. I mean, the OJ trial, right? Technically, there's so many little things you could say it should have been over. the Bruno Mali footprints in blood on the sidewalk. Well, frankly, the end. Guilty. I mean, just one little piece of the evidence should have been a guilty verdict. Again, it should have been another 4-minute trial. Just disgusting, right? So this is the burden. You know, I'm sitting here saying, okay, I got this gigantic burden to explain to these morons that they're basically, the first thing you have to do is tell the jury, look, you're so goddamn stupid. I'm going to have to spend a whole lot of time explaining basic facts of existence to you because you're really that dumb. I have to explain to you, see those things swimming there? They have a brain like yours. It's just navigating, okay? They have fins instead of, and they have fins with 5 bones in it. You know, just like your hand. You know, is the truth, okay, that really is your ancestor, okay? There was a point where you called that thing a daddy. Yeah, it's the truth, mommy and daddy. You know, that's where we arose from. That's mechanically what we are these little biological blobs competing with each other to, you know, suck up resources, lay eggs, and die. And that's the plan. And there's no other plan. And it's not a grander or more beautiful story. That's the pitifully ugly, horrid, crappy, shitty story. And, that's the position I'm in, is that all of that has to be explained, apparently. So apparently that all has to be in the story because the jury is really too stupid to judge the event, the action of recklessly and selfishly imposing existence without any guarantee of outcome. When you have essentially created a circumstance, again, can be metaphored to, you know, shoving some kid on a tightrope, okay, over a bunch of daggers, with a bunch of daggers periodically, you know, falling from the ceiling. All kinds of obstacles, all kinds of things to fight against, and some of them will have no hope. They'll have no defense against the dagger that comes down and, you know, breaks his balancing stick. Nothing. No defenses at all. Just a stupid arrangement, you know, of circumstances will decide. and there'll be no evasion of the destiny, the doom, the horror. Anyway. Okay. Probably a good time for a break and such. All right, should be back. That's the, you know, it's kind of a gigantic task to create some sort of mechanism, a pile of words, put in arrangement and order that will take all people from all perspectives and, you know, skeleton key, you know, where somehow it's going to work on all of their little brains. To, you know, click the tumblers that say, oh yeah, I get it. It is a silly imposition, frankly. It's a cruel and stupid risk imposed for no good reason. Selfish, silly, ego, crapola, bullshit, mush, fantasy, nonsense. They're doing it because they think cracks actually break mothers' backs. You know, and so they're pushing people off of sidewalks. Because they're, saving mothers from having their backs broken. I mean, they're doing something really dumb. They're throwing people into traffic, you know, to save, you know, to protect against the mother's back getting cracked. Broken. It's just too silly. You know, black cats walking by ladders or something. I mean, it's all superstition and nonsense that they exist for. And, yeah, so you got to fix that first, right? The jury has to be fixed, you know, before you can start the trial. If the jury is way too stupid, then you're not going to, there's no point in making arguments. There's no point in, you know, manipulating all this logic and trying to say it dramatically and well, and presenting yourself and doing all of this, all the rest of the theater is completely pointless if the frickin' jury's too stupid. And I guess that's the real argument here, is that you as a juror, you're judging the evidence that I'm presenting, and you're too fucking stupid. You know, that's just, you know, it's a huge liability for me to have to educate you at trial. You know, to provide you the education you were somehow you didn't receive by just existing on Earth. You know, in some civilized country, having whatever, a high school education, that wasn't enough education. Somehow you needed more to understand simple dynamics of what harm is. That any time it happens on Earth, it's a bad thing. It doesn't matter the context. It's always in and of itself bad, and it would be very nice to be able to eliminate it wherever possible. Now, you could argue that war, for example. We have wars, and we know, well, that's bad. But we know that it's less bad than not having the war, and that's the problem. If you don't have the war, you're really in trouble. So you have to have the war, okay, because it's a less bad outcome. But you should at least admit they're both bad outcomes. You know, that this is part of the price you're paying, is that you're going to pay this very expensive price. You're going to ruin some people's lives. So I was watching some video that came up in the feed, just because I, you know, I watch a lot of physics video, so I get a lot of stuff sort of related, engineering, big trucks and crap like that, and it was on the Panama Canal, and so I spent, it was only 10 minutes, and it was incredibly educational, you know, in the sense that I didn't know shit about the Panama Canal beyond knowing that it was locks, you know, and basically giant ponds, and you had to fill the pond and raise the boat, and, you know, raise the boat, and so you're basically lifting boats with water. Where, you know, part of me would say, wouldn't it be just easier to just not lift the water and just lift the boat? But, you know, who knows? I guess it's not easier. So I guess if it was easier, I guess they would just do that. I mean, maybe the boats, the way they're designed, you can't really lift them without breaking them or something. So, you know, it wouldn't work. But it does sound, you know, it seems like, wow, that's going to take a lot of freaking, you know, energy, it's got to be kind of expensive, blah 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 blah. You know, it's not ideal. It's not like some river you just, you know, sail upstream. You know, it's, you know, it's a lot of water. You got to move, probably by pumping. Anyway, didn't mean to get on that tangent, but I just mean there was a lot of stuff in it that I hadn't thought of, and that there's new information. And one of the pieces of new information was is that, you know, thousands of people were killed building the Panama Canal. Thousands. Okay, basically they had a terrible yellow fever or something, red fever, some kind of fever. Lots of, you know, lots of accidents, lots of people dead, okay, in pretty miserable ways. Probably lots of people with broken backs, paralyzed for life, all of that kind of stuff. And so it's so not cheap. But it's so, you know, there's such a huge advantage to evading, okay, the expense of, you know, making ships go all the way to Antarctica almost to get around South America. You know, it's a gigantic economic improvement. So you could argue that it's almost like penicillin, okay? It saves so much work and grief and shipwrecks and all kinds of stuff that it prevents, that you have to say, well, those sacrifices are worth it. You know, and the longer the canal works, the, you could argue, the more lives it saves, the more people who aren't paralyzed, the more people who are cured of their disease, because they get medication that went through the canal, you know, that kind of thing. So you can make lots of arguments that it was a war worth, you know, it's a harm that was worth it because it prevented. Now, the argument for life is it'll never have that as an argument. It's never going to be able to say, but look, life is saving lives. No, it's not saving anybody's life. It's not doing that. It doesn't save any lives at all. It kills every single participant. So you can't make the argument that it's curing cancer. You know, the universe has cancer, and if it wasn't for human beings on Earth, the universe would suffer horribly and with its terrible cancer. No, we're not doing that. There's no rescue mission. We're not bringing the penicillin. We're not saving the day. We're not stopping the train from running over the damsel in distress by existing. Nothing, absolutely nothing is accomplished in terms of preventing any harm anywhere. It can't do it. So it never is a lesser bad because the unbad of us existing is, of not existing is pure. I mean, it's a pure unbad. There's absolutely no badness in non-existence. The Martians are not in purgatory. No one's sticking nails or even cupcakes in their eye. Okay, they have no gripes, no complaints. They're not at all sitting there huddled somewhere saying, save me, the horror, none of that's happening. There's no victim to be rescued. And it's just a fact. So you can't make some argument that the sacrifices you're making, okay, the people you're sacrificing to build this canal called life, okay, the life canal, we're keeping it open and flowing. You can't make some argument that it's a rescue. So everyone you kill, everyone you harm, okay, in an obnoxious way against their will, by enslaving them to your philosophy, and that's all a procreator is doing. They're enslaving somebody to their philosophy. You must believe as I believe. I'm going to pretend you believe as I believe, even though I don't know what you believe yet. All right, you're not here yet to believe something. I'm going to project it into you. I'm going to diagram you as an idiot, a moron who can fall into this silly trap and not realize they're in a trap, you know. And they're not conceding, well, what if they're smart enough to know you're drowning them in quicksand? You know, that's your gift. Here, swim away. You know, try to get out, fucker. Try to escape with your life. Yeah, good luck, fucker. That's the joke. I mean, it's really quite insidious. It's an insidiously awful thing. You're just shoving living things into quicksand, say, you know, struggle, struggle. Oh, you'll feel really good when you get your head a little bit. Oh, you'll grab onto a little tiny branch and get a little bit of extra air for a little bit of while, but then you're gonna have to struggle and struggle some more and fight to stay alive, and then you're gonna drown in the quicksand. It's just a fact. It's gonna kill you. You know, that's a gift. That's their gift, you know. It's idiotic. It's really stupid. It's moronic. And that's what has to be displayed. And also, this is a incredible burden, is that you're basically going to prove 99.99999% of the human race. You're going to walk up to them and say, "You are too fucking stupid, gee." And now I'm going to have to educate you. I'm going to have to teach you what it is to be a living thing and to take responsibility for being a living thing and recognizing the obvious about being a living thing. That it's dangerous and you know, it can be harsh and brutal. I have to explain that to you. So yeah, there's some young punk, 20 years old somewhere, you know, contriving, scheming his way through his little meager life. You know, and yeah, he's clueless so far. You know, he hasn't really looked at grandpa and seen the, you know, the scars and the degrade. He hasn't had enough of reality. He hasn't seen enough of it, let's just say, for it to sink in that this isn't, you know, this isn't a playroom full of toys. that it is, in fact, you know, quicksand, and there's things sinking in it right now. And, you know, there's not much you can do. You know, but you certainly don't need to be throwing rocks at the people sinking in the quicksand. So do what you can to, you know, make it as graceful as possible. But the last thing you would do is push somebody else in. Why would you push somebody else into the quicksand? I mean, what the fuck are you doing? So they need aid and comfort in the future. So somebody else has to worry about them. care about them and, be left desolate. In some harshly difficult brain state for the rest of their existence, recognizing that they couldn't stop their wife from dying. That they couldn't, they didn't do enough, and always having guilt, feeling unsure that they could have done better and they could have done more and they could have done. You want to leave somebody in that condition? You want to impose that on another human being, that kind of grief and regret? And you want to be called something other than cruel and stupid? Yeah, sorry. You're asking for way too much because you are way too stupid. You are cruel, okay? You're a nasty motherfucker if you think whatever you're doing is worth imposing that grief, imposing that mental state of defeat, just desolate defeat. And that's what life does to some percentage of us. I'm there, desolately defeated, seeing there's just nothing you can do. There's no happily ever after here at all. There's just mitigate against how much vomit or quicksand you're going to drown in. And that's all it is. There's just nothing to feel good about, frankly, in any rational moment you're having. And then the only place you can find something, some peace, is to disappear into some fantasy, some wishful thinking, and escape your reality. But if you really live here on Earth and you take any of this seriously, there's just so much horror and there's so little you can do about it. And that should bug the fuck out of you. Yeah. Another pause. Alright, back. Alright, so the daunting task is, so there's all these, in this sea thing, a bunch of different kinds of fish, but they really don't communicate with each other. They don't speak the same language, so to speak. They signal to each other different things. They just really can't communicate. And in some respects, that's human beings. They have to, they have identities as people, nationalism, continentism, then the whole race thing, the whole cultural divides and separations. and you have to get through all of that too. So on top of just the mere fact that people grow up silly, believing silly things, being taught silly fables as the truth, and living for those. Just reminded me. I saw some sort of primitive thing. I don't know, some image or something that was something like a primitive tribe kind of thing, and it just occurred to me in that moment that the only thing that made their lives survivable was the fact that they did make up these preposterous stories about the gods and them, the whole Buddhist thing, even, all these silly stories about some sort of grander story than the actual life they were living. So it's probably isn't any such thing as a primitive tribe that isn't living, believing in abominable snowmen or Sasquatch or, some kind of bullshit story. The stars are, the dead spirits of our past kings or something. Some sort of narrative that gives them incentive, to pretend that they're going to beat the odds of the regular life, because if they can become chief of the tribe, then they'll be rewarded as being a star, some kind of crap like that. So they create more to the story. They add a bunch of bullshit to the story, and that's sort of what I've been trying to say is sort of evil. That's sort of why the fish are in the background, is because the story isn't grander. It's far more putrid and ugly and muddy and just it's not a great story of evolution. And just this pick, 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 get a little bit of food, fight a little, chase some chicks, pick some food, fight, ch chase chicks, pick food, fight, chase chicks, pick food. I mean, it's a horrible pinball machine to be playing in. Monotonous and tedious and dangerous. And for what? So again, all of these things, I guess you could say, would you, play the pinball machine if, okay, it could actually harm you. It could give you a disease. It had a little injector on it and it could, give you coronavirus or something. It could just, so the liability, the game wasn't just some positive game. Like, can I win another opportunity to play pinball? The free game. Can I keep playing the pinball? Because it's harmless. But as soon as you put harm into it, would you frickin' put the quarter in there? I mean, what if the machine, okay, the pinball machine, not only can hurt you, punch you in the nuts, but yeah, it's got tendrils attached to a bunch of other people, and it can hurt them. It can give some little kid cancer. Are you still going to put the quarter in and play the game? When, what's on the line now isn't whether you're going to win a free game, it's going to be whether you give a kid cancer. You're going to play that game? Well, that's the game you're playing right now. I mean, right now you're playing that game. Every time you vote, every time you interact with other humans, every time you do anything, you're swaying the political winds. You're moving the human race in directions where it doesn't care about the future and it sucks their blood, okay, and creates circumstances where they're going to have to pay a huge price, okay? They're going to have to pick up the house you're going to give to your children. Your children are going to have to pay to pick it up and move it, 15 miles inland, because it's going to be underwater in the future. I mean, it's to recognize that that's the game we're in. We're in a game right now where every single thing you do can fuck up somebody else's existence. It can directly you're swimming, they're swimming. You turn left, they turn right. Well, if they turn right, they end up getting eaten by a shark. And if they turn left, they end up, marrying the princess and living in the castle and having fun until he dies of cancer. And then you have to ask the question, well, maybe who's better off getting eaten by the shark? I mean, that's the irony of it. It's just so ridiculous that we're in this circumstance that you can save somebody and it's the worst thing you could possibly do. Because now you save them to die another way. And the other way isn't going to be nearly as pleasant. You could literally push somebody out of the traffic and save their life. And they get cancer the next day and they spend the next 5 years miserable. That's your wonderful gift. A quick death they never even saw coming, versus 5 years of cancer therapy. That's the wonderful thing you did for them. That is a just it's a ludicrous position to put any intelligence in. No intelligence should say, well, yes, intelligent beings ought to be put in a position where they can't tell the difference between saving somebody and harming somebody. They can't even know for sure which is which. That's just too stupid. Come on. So anybody with a little bit of brain should be able to recognize that's a dilemma you just don't impose. And yes, most human beings on the planet right now, they aren't even close to recognizing the dilemma because they're not even close to recognizing that that's the game they're actually playing. They're actually rolling dice, not only with their own welfare, but with the welfare of every single person they interact with. They're going to decide whether they, die horribly or die well, gracefully. Those things are really going to happen. And it's going to be decided by stupid little inadvertent actions on your part that are going to make the difference. And the fact is, you have no power. So we're almost back to the idea of just imagining the person who has lost somebody, you know, like I said, somebody who their life was built around, that was a something for them to orbit, so to speak, somebody they loved, cared about, it was part of their life, let's just say, part of every habit they had this other person in it, and the other person is brutally killed, you know, in the fish fight. And, you know, just imagining all of that regret, all of that, could I have done something? Did I miss something? You know, was I too selfish? Was I, you know, going through all that crap, trying to figure out whether, you know, and then coming to the conclusion that, yes, like all of us, I could have done better. I always could have done better. That's always going to be a truth for somebody smart. Somebody smart knows that I did waste a lot of time still indulging myself. I did do this. I did do that. I could have done this. I could have done that. And I didn't, because I was selfish. And so it's always going to be a negative conclusion that, yes, I didn't do enough. I didn't try hard enough. I didn't work hard. I didn't do, you know, regret. And you people are basically saying, I'm going to put a quarter in that machine. I'm going to make more of that. Let's make more and more and more of this grief and pain and anguish and bleak emptiness. Let's impose it for no good reason. Not because there's any Martians in prison trying to be free. All right, you want to create this slop, okay, this mess, this risk and danger. It doesn't exist, and that's what you're going to do, is change it into existing. That's what you're voting for. And just recognizing that is the crime. That is obscene. That's so damn stupid. So, that's the point of the trial, is to get to that final conclusion where you point the finger and say, what the fuck do you think you're doing? Because there's no, you can't defend yourself. There's no argument you're going to provide. The prego isn't going to be able to say something intelligent about what they're doing besides saying, it satisfies my fantasy vision of my my triumph in life. You know, some sort of mush. You know, something about some selfish notion of some fulfilled purpose that has nothing to do with anything real. It's just going to be saying, because I didn't want to step on any cracks in the sidewalk. Yeah. I mean, it's such a pile of shit. All right. So, yeah. Okay, one more break, let's say. Alright, so I think this video accomplished the task, which is basically first to explain that that's been the problem for, you know, at least 10 of the 20 years I've been doing this, is the realization that it's not just about creating arguments, it's about the fact that you have to use specific ones against specific people. And the people who know what DNA evidence is, okay, they don't need to hear, this is how DNA works. They're not interested. Okay, they don't need to be educated on the subject. But then they're the same, you know, they might be the people that need to have it explained that, you know, there's different fluids in a truck and some of them are not flammable. And it isn't the fault of the truck manufacturer if some of those leak out when it gets hit with a truck at 70 miles an hour. A big, giant pickup truck hits it, you know, 70 miles an hour, there's very good reason for the system to fail. Very good reason. Maybe they need that explained. So, you know, it's like you have the religious, the fantasy nuts who'll sit there and look at this and sit there and say, oh, God just did this. He painted all the little fish these colors for specific, because we like it. Yeah, he made some of them look kind of perverted, like they got penises on their face, but that was just him being humorous. Some kind of silly narrative, doesn't have anything to do with reality, just this, you know, cracky, you know, Sasquatch story. Completely unrelated to anything real, factual, intelligent, just anti-intelligence. And then you got people who are just genuinely ignorant. It's not like they have anti-intelligence, not like they have a fable, but they just don't really, they haven't spent any time thinking about it. So you have to kind of go through all these little thought processes about, well, yeah, there's a difference between dying in an instant and dying over a 10-year period. And the fact is that, yes, you live longer when you die over a 10-year period, but you don't live better. So, there is a difference between, dying well and dying badly, and a certain qualitative real difference. There are fates worse than death itself. Being dead isn't so much of a threat, frankly. It's only a threat in your, like to your ego, to your sense of shit, I didn't clean my room. Who's everybody's just gonna take all of this cool stuff and just put it in a garbage bag and put it on the street? I mean, fuck, that's no good. That kind of thing. My life is uncomplete. I haven't finished, so I can't leave yet because I haven't cleaned up. That kind of, and that's about it, right? Is there something else that's bugging you about the fact that you're going nowhere? going nowhere is not a big threat. It's not scary. Oh, nowhere. I went nowhere. No, going into a shark's stomach, that's something to worry about. So, that's the difficulty of making this argument, is that this trial will have to include some way of segregating you, okay, into jurors that need educating and jurors that, don't need as much. But you're all going to need some because you obviously haven't figured this out, which means you're pretty stupid. So, you can't figure it out just looking at it, okay? I mean, you can't do what I did when I was, like I said, I have the clear memory of this one moment, especially where I, there's a little tree in between the 2 yards, and I was, maybe 10 feet off the ground. Wasn't much of a tree, but lots of little branches and stuff. And, you could see the sky, so it didn't have a whole lot of leaves in it. But anyway, and there was a hurricane coming, and there was the tornado warnings that were coming before the hurricane. And so the tornado whistle was going off, and the wind's blowing, and I had a moment of just saying, what the fuck am I doing in this? Why am I in this pinball machine game? Why am I playing this game? What the fuck is the point of this? I should sit around and wait for a fucking tornado to kill me. I mean, what the hell am I doing here? Why am I in this jeopardy? I mean, how is this something people do for a reason? So it was one of those moments where clearly if somebody walked up to me and said, would you like to stop playing the game? I would have hit the button. Yes, please, let's just stop playing this game because it's not going to go anywhere. This is too silly. What am I doing here? Didn't make any sense at all. I mean, just the strange uneasiness you get, when you have that deja vu-y creepy feeling of, oh shit, where am I? What am I? Just even the streets and the whole houses and the whole, it's just all creepy. This is like, what the fuck is this? This little boxes that we're living in, this little, just, yeah. None of it made any sense. So, of course, I would volunteer to say, fuck, yeah, I don't see any point in this. What am I doing here? And you honestly are going to tell me that you find all of this perfectly make sense to you? You sit there and say, yeah, it all fits, it all, oh yeah, it seems so perfect. Yeah, everything's just fine. I don't get you. Yeah, sorry. No chance. All right. So anyway, enough of a video. So hopefully it won't be too visually impaired. I know it's weird that the camera's it's stuck where this stupid blade that cleans the glass is, so they have to fix that, I guess. The timing's a little off. Anyway, I mean, they can fix that, like, you know, the guy running the, you know, the computer could fix that. I mean, he's just stopping in the wrong place. I mean, shit, he could fix that. Anyway, until the next time and such. And so forth and whatnot. Yeah, it's not very clear water today either, so sorry about that. It's a little windy in Hawaii, I guess, today. Till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot.